Hello, it is your partner, Big Boy, interested in giving back to your community while making new connections in your neighborhood. Introducing Neighbor to Neighbor, a California volunteers network that empowers you to take action, contribute to local needs, and be a part of something bigger than yourself. Visit caneighbors.com to learn more about how you can get to know your neighbor and strengthen your community. Neighbor to Neighbor, it takes a neighborhood. Hello.
Have you tried changing your health year on year, resolving that this year things are going to be different, but nothing seems to change? Oftentimes, when things are not changing, we are following many wellness myths and not looking at the full picture, including our nutrition, recovery, stress management, leaving out mind-body connection. I want to introduce you to Wellness Redefined, a new podcast from Refillion Media that's here to dispel all your myths about wellness and fitness while sharing stories of how we redefine what it means to be healthy. On each episode, we'll be talking to experts from all walks of life who will share their own unique wellness journey and offer their perspective. I am your host, Tamika Rochester, founder and CEO of Harlem Cycle, a premier wellness space in New York City with a focus on indoor cycling. I've been an advocate for wellness since as early as I can remember. So if this sounds like something that could help change your life, go ahead and pause the show you're listening to and subscribe to Wellness Redefined on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I also started accepting the fact that I needed to stop trying to be the athlete that I was, because that was never going to happen.
Right. So it's a new journey.
Yeah. It's not being an athlete, you know, the athlete that I was. It's accepting the fact that now I get to be a new athlete, mm-hmm. and I don't need to compare myself to past numbers or compare myself to, what I was getting prior to injury.
Between the Reps with Brooke Entz and Gina Chancharulo is a CastBox original, produced alongside Studio 71.
CastBox is the fastest growing and highest rated podcast app on both iOS and Android, where you can find all your favorite podcasts.
You can listen to Between the Reps wherever you get your podcasts, but we hope you'll give CastBox a shot. We think it's the best. What's up, guys? We are here for episode 5?
Yeah, five.
So thank you for listening to number 5, which means we haven't annoyed you or scared you completely yet, but we still have many more opportunities to do that. So thanks for sticking around. We are going to talk about my injuries. I don't really want to say, but it's the truth. And you know, that's my reality.
Yeah. Well.
So we'll talk about them and where I'm at with them. And we'll talk about Gina's too.
And why it's stopping me from going to the games.
Yeah. Gina's on the road to the games.
I'm going when I'm 50.
Going to the games by 50.
I'm going. I got 2 years.
Going to the games by 50.
So start out by telling us about your injuries.
Okay. I'll start with one first. So if for those of you that don't know me or you're just getting to know me, I had my spine fused C6, C7 in 2017. No. 2017.
Yes.
Yeah, that's correct. I was trying to think like in December I found out. Okay, yeah. Sorry. This is me doing my counting. Where am I in the year?
It's December's like the last weekend of March of 2017.
We go past January. We're in 28. Okay. So 2017. 2016 in December, some stuff happened, ignored it because I'm tough, and I had to get my neck fused because I'm tough. C6, C7, disc fold, disc fusion, bone graft, and I was out for a season from CrossFit. Came back from that, made it back to regionals, and then I've had a torn labrum on my left side, my left shoulder. For a while. I figured it out when I took so much time off of training from my neck. I had a bunch of atrophy happen and I wasn't able to train my upper body. So naturally, my muscles got a little bit weaker and little tweaks or, you know, tears that I wasn't noticing prior to because I had so much strength around the area to protect it that they were starting to become very obvious. I trained through that and did PT. I was great going into regionals, but I think with all of the
honestly, the handstand stuff and just probably uneven, like using dumbbells or things like that, I was overusing my right side a lot. So after regionals in 2018, all the years blend together. After regionals 2018, I was in so much pain with my right arm, I couldn't lift my arm to the side at all. I could not touch my opposite shoulder, and I'm like hypermobile on my shoulders. I couldn't touch my shoulder. I couldn't touch the top of my head. It was really bad.
You're a mess.
I was a mess. And you know what was so frustrating?
What?
Here, got my MRI. We were kind of in this period of time where it needed to be rushed. Like, I needed to, like, figure out
for your neck or for
my shoulder. Okay. So, necks were healed, sort of. Nerves take a really long time to heal. And I had a lot of nerve damage, but we went to regionals, doing good. And then after regionals, right shoulder, a mess. So, I'm like, all right, we don't have a lot of time. I want to keep this train going and keep training to get better. And I got an MRI on my shoulder right after regionals. And the radiologist, I sat down with a radiologist to look at it, and she's showing me all of this stuff. She's like, you have a full slap tear. You've got a subscap tendon tear. She said, and I'm having so much bicep tendon pain, like a lot.
Just in the one? Or
just on this one. And yeah. And that's where it would bother me the most. And I was noticing this pain, a lot of it in training for regionals, but you know, I managed it, and I did like PT and things like that to try and manage the inflammation and pain. But she said that with all of the tension and just like all of the strain on everything around my shoulder, she was surprised that my biceps tendon hadn't separated from my shoulder yet.
Oh my God.
Okay. And imagine? Which would make sense, right? Because I'm like, okay, yeah. So if I have a full slap tear and I've got a subscap tendon tear, then this, yeah, it's right in the middle of two tears. It's carrying a lot of weight. It's needing to work extra hard to try and protect these other areas. Mm-hmm. So that's, it made sense to me what she said. So in my head, I'm screwed. And I got to act quick. So I knew that I didn't want to have surgery because it's not fun.
You'd be out.
Yeah.
Too,
and mostly it's,
you wanted to try something
like,
different.
I felt
before?
Like I would be able to start my road, like my recovery, a little bit earlier, even just being able to do other exercises in the gym.
Okay.
But what was frustrating is my doctor, Dr. McAdams, he's from Stanford, he's fantastic. They also had, so I had my own radiologist because I was working with a doctor that I was recommended to, that's a stem cell doctor in Northern California. He had a radiologist. We went to their imaging place. She pulled up my scans and she went through them with me. Well, Dr. McAdams, the radiologist that I went and had my imaging done, and they reviewed it and then sent him their review. They did not use the word tear one time.
Well, so what was it?
And their response to me was that, you know, there's a lot of wear and tear. Like you have a lot of inflammation, fluid, like micro
tears.
Yeah, but they didn't use the word tear one time. Okay. And they said, you know, I think that you'd be okay to move forward with like PRP or stem cell. Because I had talked to him about how I wanted to do that. And he wasn't against it, but what I've found with doctors and surgeons is like, you've got the stem cell guys and you got the people that they just do surgery. It's like, you're a surgeon or you're something else, you know, and they kind of, that's what they believe and that's what they focus on. But he never told me not to do stem cell. Anyways, this moment, they didn't use the word tear. I'm coming through sitting down with a doctor or radiologist saying, your world is turned upside, like, you're fucked up.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you got full slap tear. You got a subscap tendon tear. You've got, you better be careful with your biceps tendon because it's going to want to separate. Like, no wonder you've got so much inflammation in there and you're in a lot of pain. To then go to a radiologist saying like, oh no, you know, yeah, it's, you're a little beat up, but you'll be okay. And I'm like, what?
Somebody make up their mind.
Like, I've got, and this whole time I've got like I don't have a lot of time. I'm thinking, I need, whatever I do, I've got to act quick, you know. I wanted to be able to be working out and the CrossFit Games. I wasn't going to the CrossFit Games. I didn't qualify. Boo. But but they were in August, and I really wanted to, whatever I needed to do for the recovery, whichever doctor I needed to see, I wanted to do that quick. And it really threw everything off when I had almost two sort of doctors, I guess, tell me pretty drastically different things. So what I did is I just started searching. So because theirs was like, oh, there's nothing really big, you know, then I started to think more like this. Well, you know, some people can have tears and it will have no symptoms. Like, you may not have any symptoms. If that's the case, like, so a lot of things you can live with. You don't need to fix it.
Sure.
And some people may not have quite as much damage, but have like gnarly symptoms, right? So maybe nothing's like really badly torn, but I could have a ton of scar tissue and micro tears and inflammation and fluid and stuff that isn't going to be resolved on its own per se. And it's just causing me a lot of symptoms. So what I did is I started searching for a stem cell doctor, someone to just have them look at my MRI. And I weighed the pros and cons and decided that it would be worth the money for me to...
Because it's not covered by insurance.
Stem cells are not covered by insurance. It was a pretty penny. But to me, it was like, well, if I'm going to invest this into my body, my business, my training, and take the proper steps to recover. And it was worth it to me to have time that I wasn't recovering from an actual surgery, and take that chance, mm-hmm. than to just have surgery. Because also surgery is not guaranteed either. It's exactly. not guaranteed you're going to come out and not have symptoms anymore. You know, you may go and get something fixed, but still be in tons of pain. And then you're still just managing pain, which is what I was doing before. And there's tons of, you know, there are stories that I have heard of many athletes, you know, in the NFL, in other sports, that they will like tear a tendon or tear a biceps tendon or separate a biceps tendon or something, and they will still finish out the season. The pain is what's going to hold you back.
Right.
But once you've done the damage, sometimes it's not really going to get worse. So for me, if I didn't have pain, I wouldn't fix it.
Right.
I can keep going without it. Like, for instance, I do have a posterior labrum tear on my left shoulder.
But you don't feel it.
No. I get sore. I'll get some inflammation in there. But if I manage it with, you know, getting some good body tissue work or things like that, might be a little uncomfortable if my volume is really high, but for the most part,
it does not bother me.
But this one was completely different. It was excruciating. I mean, I couldn't...
I remember.
Some of you that follow me on Instagram, you probably saw this giant pillow that I bought off of Instagram for people that have shoulder pain or are coming back from a shoulder surgery. And I bought this to try sleeping on it because I just...
You look like a, I don't know,
as a mountain.
An egg or something. No, you're a little chicken egg.
I'd like climb into this mountain of pillows every night. And now it's so bad because I don't need it anymore. So every time you walk in my room, Marston's like... I have a million pillows on the side of my bed that I don't even sleep with. But they're there in case I want them.
Yeah.
You know. So I did stem cells. I'd say long story short, but that's a bullshit.
How do you feel, for people that don't know, I mean, for you to do all the neck, you know, after your neck surgery, getting back in the gym, all of that. If you know Brooke, you can't really hold her back. She'll listen to her doctor, but she's always trying to find more ways to be active.
Honestly, I almost feel like you have firsthand experience of being around me after my neck surgery. I think that was the first time I really had a really big setback. I mean, that was the first time I had like an injury from my sport.
Yeah, it was.
And I've been doing it a long time.
It was a good one.
Yeah, you know, and I don't do anything half-assed. If I'm going to do it.
Right.
So... Yeah, I mean, coming back from that, I probably tried to push the limits a little bit more than I do with like my shoulders. And a lot of that is because through that experience, I really was able to realize and learn like just the importance of listening to your doctor or taking your time. And it's always easier said than done. Like, I will easily tell you, you know, exactly what now I am able to tell myself. But prior to, I never would have wanted to listen to myself, which is... If I were to, there's a chance that I could come back faster or, you know, push the limits faster and be totally fine. But there's also a chance that I may do that and then I may hurt myself worse. And then it's almost like setting yourself back, taking so many steps backwards.
Yeah.
Right. And so it makes you've got your,
this one body.
Yeah. It makes your recovery time longer. So now I just, I think of it as like, I don't want it to end up being longer. So I'm just going to take my time. And with my stem cell stuff, I got them injected the first week of August, like the very last right weekend of July. Yeah. And we did amniotic fluid. I did it in the osteopathic center in Miami, Florida. Mm-hmm. And we did injections on both shoulders. And it was crazy. If you guys, there's a video on my YouTube channel of me going and getting it done. And you can kind of see the whole process for the most part.
Was it scary?
No. So I'm not super. When I first went in there and I saw the needles on the counter.
Yeah. I was going to say, because I thought you said you felt a little nauseous.
I got sick.
Oh.
And he told me it was from all the lidocaine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So.
Well, I ain't no pussy. I ain't no bitch. You try to call me out.
When I first went in, all the needles obviously had caps on the ends, and the caps were longer than the actual needle. But I'm not kidding. I mean, the needle was at least this long. Let me show you guys. Tell me when. It's like probably this long.
Yeah, that's.
And he had to have it because he had to be able to go as deep as you needed to. And first, he had to go everywhere where he was going to inject.
Mm-hmm.
First, he did like all of the everything based off of my
pain.
MRI. He ultrasound. He ultrasound me, and he looked at everything. And then with the ultrasound, that's how we watched it. He would inject, and you'd see the needle going in on the ultrasound. And
I wouldn't be able to watch that.
I used to watch my dad's knee surgery though when they like videoed it when I was little.
Oh, you're so one of those. Weird.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's what they did first. So he numbed everything and then was going to go back and inject the stem cells everywhere where he had numbed it. So where I got nauseous, I remember I was sitting on the table and he's in front of me. And I looked at him and I was just like, I don't think I feel very good. And I didn't, not at all. Like, I couldn't hear. Yeah, my vision was going crazy. He had to lay me down and get my hips up. We moved the table so my hips were up. You know, the nurses are bringing in like things for me to eat. And he said it was just because I had so much lidocaine in my system. And it's like your body kind of flushes it through your body. And so I did start to feel better. Yeah. I was okay. And I ate some like fig bars or something like that. And this is really funny. Actually, I mean, I think it's funny. The nurse is bringing in like juice and fig bars and I'm like, feel so sick. And I'm really nervous. Like, oh my God, I'm thinking, are they going to have to call like an emergency room? Am I going to have to go to the hospital? Like, I didn't know what was happening to me. And they're bringing these things in. And all I'm thinking is like, I don't know if I can afford that sugar right now.
I knew you were thinking that. Can I see the ingredients on this? Can I see the nutritional facts on this?
What's the carb count?
of this Fig Newton?
Yeah. So it was a scary, yet I focused so much on the result. And that's how it was with my spine surgery. I focused so much on the result that like when I'm doing like the process or the getting the surgery or doing the injections, it doesn't even faze me until later. But I did the stem cells in August. Got them done, and I've just been sort of taking it very slow since. The goal was to treat it as though I had surgery. And my PT is, we just got me to where I'm hanging from a pull-up bar, I'm doing push-ups, and now I'll get to start seeing more progress. I'm pulling from a conventional setup on a deadlift, a clean grip, and we'll slowly start adding more things in. But even my physical therapist was like, this would be way too expensive of a mess up if we like rushed it, you know, and that was true. It's like I just went through this whole process of getting injected. There is no reason for me to rush back. And I will say from the spine and I'd like to have you weigh in on this, but like from the spine surgery was like my first experience doing it. But what I started to realize when you take my training away, because I'm so used to like being very exerted or really sweating and really working out to like a full exhaustion every day that when, from my neck, when I didn't train for 6-8 weeks, I was kind of a mess. Like physically, I'd have like stress that was like, it wasn't stress that was just, could be resolved through a conversation or resolved through getting my, cleaning my house or paying my bills, right? Like something, like I need to get this done, so that stresses you out. It was like a stress that I feel in my body. It's like anxiety that I couldn't get rid of. And it was so hard mentally because I wanted to, like I needed to get rid of it and I couldn't. There was no way I could get rid of it because I couldn't exert myself enough. And I realized like how important just exercise is for my mental health.
Absolutely.
Like, I mean, all these injuries are, I mean, yes, I wanted to talk to you about my injuries and where I'm at. And I want you to know that I'm recovering and I'm listening to my doctor and I'm really loving the process of getting strong. But what I've learned from going through it, because I didn't realize it until, like, you don't realize what you have until it's gone, right? Is the mental health side that I now realize I need fitness. I need exercise for me to be
sane
nice.
Yeah,
sane. For me to nice, be nice, kind, yeah, good at my job.
No, I think it's like that for a lot of people though. I mean, I think, well, and I think a lot of people, if they would exercise more, would feel better, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, so, I agree. And it can be hard to try and you can't make someone want it, right?
No, but I mean, I feel the same way. I mean, if I'm not doing something physical, I feel the same way. I almost feel more tired or more, you know, it's like, and it's hard sometimes. It's hard to motivate yourself to like get up, you know, like we got up and missed our class this morning.
But we tried to get there.
We tried to get there. But, you know, it's like, you know, sometimes you have to have that self-talk, like where you just convince yourself, you know, because I mean, I have this inner battle sometimes every morning. I shouldn't say every morning, a lot of mornings.
Dude, every morning.
It's no, like a love-hate okay, for right. me. Yeah. It's a love-hate for me because, you know, for me, I'm yes, I always just want to fit into my clothes. And I'm aging, you know, so it's like a lot of it
we're
is like.
Vain.
We're
She's
vain.
She's very, very vain.
Very vain.
Nothing but wrong with that.
But I just, for me, it's trying to figure out to keep moving because, you know, I'm dying.
Oh, my God. It's so sad, I mean, but true.
You know, I'm aging. So it's like, I'm just trying
I'm going
to
stop you at the, yeah. I'm dying.
I know. I'm not really
because
dying.
Because we have to take a quick break. Oh. And it's literally the most perfect thing to pause on. And we're going to come back. And then we're going to continue about how I don't like saying that you're dying, Gina, because that is literally
well, I just meant we're all,
never
we all
gonna
are.
Happen.
I meant we all are.
But we're all dying.
I'm closer to.
We're slowly. Yeah. Anyways, quick break. We'll be right back. This episode of Between the Reps is brought to you by Lola, a modern approach to feminine care. Gina, Lola is a female-founded company, which is awesome, offering a line of organic cotton tampons, pads, liners, and all-natural cleansing wipes. You need some of those?
Nope.
I do, man. My periods are intense.
Just because I don't have a period anymore.
I'm sorry. I made you tell people that.
I know.
It's all right. It's natural. It's no, natural in life. You do have a daughter, though.
I used to. I do. I do. It actually would be yes.
Has she Has she enjoyed you getting this package sent to you?
Absolutely.
She's just taking all of them, just hoarding
them.
She
hoards them.
The founders of this company are Jordana Keir and Alexandra Friedman. Awesome women. I think that anytime I hear about a company that's been founded by women and they're just powering and growing super fast, makes me really motivated to keep doing what I'm doing and what we're doing.
Yeah, for sure.
Unlike other major brands, Lola products are 100% natural and easy to feel good about. No bullshit, mystery fibers, or doubts about what's going on in your body. Plus, the products come in a simple, customizable subscription. They deliver it exactly to your door. So you get to order exactly what you need, which is really great. Like I haven't really needed to use, I've never considered using liners until I got an IUD. I have the copper wire IUD, so.
As you said before, it's founded by women for women, which is awesome. Lola offers pads, liners, and both BPA-free plastic applicator or environmentally non-applicator tampons.
We love companies that give back, and this company is definitely one of those. They do
good with your purchase. For every purchase, they donate feminine care products to homeless shelters across the U.S.
Which you never think about that. Those people definitely need help.
Yeah. I've always, you know, just gone to the grocery store, but I travel a lot, and I, for some reason, I know my period's coming every month, but I still forget when it's coming. So it's always a surprise. It's been very nice having them send a...
Have a backup.
Yeah, nice to have a little subscription where, you know, they keep track of my cycle when I forget.
Thank you, Lola.
Thanks, Lola, for keeping track of my cycle. If you guys want to try out Lola and get your own subscription box with whatever, you know, types of either tampons, pads, or liners that you want to use and you prefer, you can. For 40% off all subscriptions, visit mylola.com and enter the promo code Brooke.
That's B-R-O-O-K-E.
For 40% off of all subscriptions, visit mylola.com and enter the promo code Brooke. Spell it out, Gina.
B-R-O-O-K-E.
When you subscribe. So hopefully the fact that we told you that Gina was dying kept you a little bit on a cliffhanger, so you're still here listening. Just so you know, she's not dead, though, so I will never let that happen. She'll be begging me. She'll be begging me to let her go.
Kill me.
Never. All right, so just explain to them a little bit why what you were saying about, like, I'm dying.
I just mean that I am getting closer to death with age. So in that process, I feel like when I was younger, it was easy. You know, it was like, oh, I'm just going to go for a run, or, oh, you know, I'm going to, you know, counteract, you know, what I'm eating with, you know, just an extra.
Exercise.
I'm going to be on the stair stepper forever. Yeah. But as I age, it's harder to get motivated. So I do have this thing every morning where I'm just like, because, you know, again, I'm getting older. So, like, my knees hurt. You know, my back hurts. My sciatica.
Oh.
You know,
sciatica.
My sciatica. I have all these things and I get injured, you know, easier,
yep.
Not because of CrossFit, but just because, you know, I need to warm up more. I'm like learning more about the things that I need to do as I age to make sure that I'm not, you know, getting hurt. But I mean, I just have like more wear and tear on me. And it's every morning, like I'll wake up and I'll be like, oh, you don't need to go today. You don't need to go today. And then the other part of me is like, get up.
Saddlebags.
Get up.
You know what?
Lazy ass.
So
anyway.
Okay, but let me ask you this then. Because like I already know this about you, but the people probably don't.
What's that?
On like a mental side of what training, I guess, did for you back then,
mm-hmm.
And I want to know what that feels like now. Like how has things changed? Like and with that too, it's like, you know, just a little remind, like we talk about like with like the diet,
right?
You know, like I think about the same stuff you're thinking about, but it is definitely slightly different. Like I want to eat protein because I'm training and I want to rebuild muscle tissue.
It's performance. I mean, it is on a different scale for me. I'm not saying, but you're an athlete.
No, yes. Yeah. No, let's not talk about me.
Yeah.
We're talking about
okay,
you.
Shit. All right, it's back to me.
Just, I want you to elaborate on. I know exactly what I want you to talk about. Elaborate on what you think about and maybe what stresses you out about aging, because that is going to put a lot of stress on your mental game and how you think about yourself and how you go about your day and how, I mean, even if you try to not think about it, it's something that you are preparing for. And so that is that's something that drives your training. That's something that drives what you're doing in the gym. And when you do that, I imagine it's probably, you know, going to give you some relief, like mental anxiety. So explain what that mental might
be. Well, for me, like, if I do go, you know, or when I do go, I just, for me, I want to be strong, you know, I want to be, I want to be fit, you know, I want to keep up with all my young friends, you know, and my children and everything else. And so it's like, and I need to be in that, I need to have that exertion again, like you, or else I do start to, you know, sometimes feel, like I said, kind of like lazy, or, I mean, not in full depression, but like, you know, I just don't feel as good.
It can be easier to let like negative self-talk or negative thoughts like kind of seep in.
For sure. I mean, and I think that most people, you know, have that battle that anyway. And so for me, I just feel better if I'm working out, and if I'm not, you know, that negative self-talk definitely creeps in, you know, and then you start seeing the results of that. And so that's another, you know,
well, like for instance, more than that, like you said it to me the other day, you need to eat protein because now you're more concerned about aging.
Right.
Like, and how, like, you need to prepare your body, you know,
right,
in a way right now while you can to age. What was the word you used?
I don't remember.
You to age gracefully.
Gracefully. Yes. I'm not trying to cheat aging. It's just I do want to age gracefully. And I think that what my workouts looked like when I was younger look very different now. I mean, now as I get older and I, you know, you lose muscle more rapidly. So I'm trying to like focus on more like building muscle. And for that, I need protein, you know, yeah. And so I need to up that. And again, I don't think I was very educated when I was younger. I mean, now I'm around all these people that are, you know.
I don't think it was very common. You know what I mean?
No. When I was younger, sure you would you starve
live.
Yourself.
Like where you're from for sure yeah. is going to dictate like what you your level of knowledge is on
for sure.
Nutrition and or diet.
I think at that age also it was like you just, you know, you lived off like a really ridiculously small amount of calories if you wanted to lose weight, you know, and then you would just run.
Yeah, I remember when my mom, we always had like, I'd be going to school and she's like, here's a Slim Fast. Thanks, Mom. Like a meal replacement. Yeah.
She's like, you're eating too much.
You're eating too much.
Here you go. Anyway. But yeah, so, I mean, that's kind of where it is for me.
Yeah.
And again, I'm trying to keep up with all you youngsters.
Well, if you, the day you start slowing down, I'm just going to tie a rope around you.
Drag me around.
I'm going to tie the other side to me.
Okay.
And I'm just going to carry you everywhere.
I want like a front pack. You put me in a front pack.
Yes. We obviously can relate on a lot of that. So for me, I am such an introvert. And it's so funny when I tell people that because they're like, no. No, you're not. And I'm like, I am. And I didn't even know that until a friend of mine told me that a long time ago. Someone who knows me very well. And I am. I'm such an introvert that's like really good at extroverting. And I love entertaining people. And I love extroverting. And so what can happen sometimes is I very easily get very much in my head. And I mean, you've joked.
I know.
Gina will catch me sometimes because I will have these like conversations with myself in my head.
But they're not in your head.
And sometimes I'll say it out loud.
I said, oh, was that your inner dialogue?
Yeah.
Did your inner dialogue just come out?
Like, yeah. It's like, you're going to be a crazy old woman that just like is having just a conversation
talking,
with
yeah,
myself.
Talking to yourself.
So, but I do. If I have a problem I'm trying to solve, or if I have a schedule that's crazy and I need to somehow, because I can get overwhelmed pretty easily, I've got to like work through it, create myself like a checklist or whatever. Internally, I will do this. I feel like there's a little person in my head just like, you know, like putting files away and organizing shit. And then sometimes just like, fuck it! And just like ruining the whole entire
office. Just trashing everything.
Yeah. Or like the Grinch that stole Christmas. It's like throwing like all of like the junk mail and all of the. Yes.
Those are all your.
Yeah.
Your
and
emotions.
So sometimes like what I'll do is I work through that, whether it's around that time of the month and I'm super hormonal. And it's like, I know that I'm hormonal. I know that sometimes the way I'm feeling is not my reality, but still, I still feel that way. And so I'll work through the, you know, the whole process of like allowing myself to feel the way I'm feeling, but also trying to create a plan. I might feel really bad. I might be really stressed. I might have a ton to do, but if I can create a plan, a checklist, and I can just start one thing at a time, just one thing at a time, it makes me feel a lot better.
Right.
And so
and then you got to sweat those demons out.
Yeah. So what will happen sometimes is I can get very much in my head, whether it's about I'm getting ready for a competition or it's personal stuff or like, you know, I'm a little bit like my self-image isn't that great or, you know, anything like that where it can become debilitating. And the only way I can make
gains I can get out of it is to exert myself like tremendously. And usually it's not even in a CrossFit gym. Like sometimes it is in a gym where I'm doing like a Metcon, and if it's a, it's, but I will immediately, I know that I can make a difference right now. And I don't want to wait. I'm not someone who, if there's like a problem, whether it's like me in my head or maybe with a person, I want to nip it in the butt. I got to start right now and make changes. And so running is like my go-to for my mental health. Going on a long run. And what happens is I have to exert myself, exhaust my whole body to a point where like all of my like stress receptors are like, oh no, I can't focus on this shit anymore because we're dying down here. Like our legs are gonna shut down.
Everything hurts.
Yeah, you know, yeah. And then it gets to a point where I feel better. And it kind of totally sucks that that's what it takes for me to have relief, because it's exhausting and it's really hard and it's really painful. But that's what
you feel
what
better
it is.
After.
Yeah.
And then you think that's the takeaway from that.
And that's, this isn't for everyone. You know, I'm a special kind of breed, but like I grew up being very, very active. So are my parents. And I've noticed this idea or like what it takes to have that. I notice it, and I've heard about it and talked about it with a lot of people that have done similar. Either they're all athletes or for sure gymnasts. Gymnasts are crazy, dude.
Well, and so are
crazy.
Ballet dancers.
Yeah. And I was, yeah. So that's, you know, that's like a, it's an overarching theme for a lot of people that are very much into fitness and things like that. And so
there's a drive there.
Yeah, I need it. And it's, again, like I said, sometimes you don't know what you need until you don't have it. Like I always knew that it was important to me to be healthy and fit, but I didn't realize how much not only my level of competition or my back squat or my my skill level in needed fitness. Mm-hmm. I knew that I needed it for that, but I had no idea that for like my home life, my business life, my self-love, my self-image, my heart, my mind, like everything, probably my gut health. Mm-hmm. We'll have to get into gut health on a different
that's a
episode.
Whole other, yeah.
But like, I didn't realize how much that needed
right.
exertion and fitness and sweat. And the first time I really realized it was after my spine surgery. Because I went from working out every day.
You were stir crazy.
Like training twice a day, training for the games, training for regionals, to nothing. And it was like, everything hurt, and it was like
and you couldn't, you poor thing, you couldn't even like
couldn't do anything.
Turn your neck, you couldn't do anything.
No, I know.
Remember how we used to joke that we were
gee, these people, I couldn't turn my head at all. I couldn't move it for 6 weeks. So my friends would love to stand behind me and then say something to me, so I'd have to like what? I went along with it. I like to make people laugh.
Mean.
No, it wasn't mean. It was hilarious. Mm. Should have milked that injury for a while and just kept the neck brace. Like, go to Disneyland.
Just
Brooke, put your neck brace on.
Hey, look. Keep pointing. Hey, look over there.
Or we'd travel, put it on, and it's like, I could have my own neck pillow.
Oh, my God.
But yeah.
I think that's genius for getting your hair done.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Exercise is key for me to be a nice person. And a healthy person and a happy person. And I'm not saying that that is the, like, that's the key or the right thing for everybody. But I do believe that for most people, a little bit of, you know, exertion and sweat and exercise will definitely always make you better. It will never make you worse. And you know, for me personally right now, like my sister is going through some hard times. She was pregnant with twins and don't want to get really into it, but she lost both of them. And for her, she's always been into health and fitness, but she's also been pulled away from that for many years. And when you have so much time away from, you know, that kind of stress, like working out super hard, like you said, you almost have a hard time going back.
Right.
You know, like you, or I have it same too. Like you have a moment where maybe you already feel a little bit defeated. So then it's like, well, why try?
Right.
You know, like, well,
it seems like, or it might seem like it's a really long road to get to where you're going.
Yes. And
so
like,
you're like,
okay, road to recovery. Right. You get injured and obviously you come back. You're not the athlete that you were. That's not going to happen. You're going to be not as strong and be weak. You're going to have to start over a little bit. And it's very frustrating. And the best that I can express to you how I think everyone should approach a road to recovery, regardless of your level of your sport or your hobby, you know, whatever, is from personal experience. This is how I did it. And it took constant work on my end with, like, you know, positive self-talk and people around me reminding me too. But what I did is start focusing on things in a way that can be constructive and a positive spin, right? So for me, I had my spine fused. I couldn't work out for 8 weeks. I trained my whole life to go to the CrossFit Games. That year I didn't get to try. And I was the strongest going into 2017. I was the strongest I had been. I had just PR'd my power snatch by 15 pounds. I power snatched 195. Ooh, not anymore.
Badass.
Okay. But
well,
that's where I was. And so I was like ready, man. And then I didn't even get to try.
Right.
And it was
devastating.
Totally devastating. And it would be very easy for me to think, there's no way I'm going back. Like, why would I try? Like, it's a lot of hard work. It's taken me years, you know, and it's painful and all these things. But what I really started to do is I started to think more like this. It excited me that I had an opportunity to go through that process again. Because most people, once you do it, you right. never get to go through it again. Mm-hmm. And that made me more relatable to people. I went through a lot of own personal growth that has made me a better person, I think, and just a more open, vulnerable, and experienced mm-hmm. person. But you get to go through something for, let's say, it could be a weight loss thing, but for my case, it was an injury thing. I really had to relearn a lot of exercises. I had to start from scratch, and there was a lot of tears. Like, just in having realization of the seriousness of what I had just done, and then also realizing that what I was struggling with after, you know, 2 months post-surgery, what I was even more than that, 2-3 months post-surgery, what I was still struggling with would have been a freaking walk in the park. And that was so hard. And it was very hard for me to not compare myself to people.
Right.
You know? But what I had to start looking at is, I now had the opportunity to fix imbalances that I probably had that I otherwise never would have had the chance to do. I now had the opportunity to, or the possibility to be the, let me start over. I could now be the strongest I could have ever been because there was a deeper issue that I had no idea that I had, and it was already holding me back even though I wasn't having pain yet. I had a bulge disc for sure for a while, so I probably, and I had some weird things that in my upper body that never really fazed me, but after it, you know, the herniation happened and I realized,
oh.
I started connecting a lot of dots, okay?
Huh.
But yeah, it's like now I have an opportunity to train and be stronger than I ever could have been. And if this would not have happened, I could never be that athlete. I also started accepting the fact that I needed to stop trying to be the athlete that I was, because that was never going to happen.
Right. So it's a new journey.
Yeah. It's not being an athlete, you know, the athlete that I was. It's accepting the fact that now I get to be a new athlete,
mm-hmm.
and I don't need to compare myself to past numbers or compare myself to you know, what I was getting prior to injury, and just accept where I was and do what I could to move forward, and then be willing to celebrate, you know, the small victories along the way, and being more willing to be what's the word? Like in the moment.
Uh-huh.
Right?
And enjoy
and,
it.
Yes. And realize, like living in the moment versus always living for something that I want in the future. Like time goes by so fast.
And appreciating all of it.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. and realizing how fast time goes by.
Yeah.
And if you just take it one day at a time, you'll be recovered before you know it. And that's and that could equally be said where like if we're so worried about, you know, little things that maybe are out of our control or are so far away or we're so blinded by something we want so bad that we're forgetting to enjoy the process, you are going to feel like you blink and years are gone and you can't remember anything. You know, mm-hmm. it's like, and I think that just through that whole process, I realized I want to train with my friends more for fun. Mm-hmm. Okay, and on that, you know, because Gina took, she drove me everywhere for four weeks, I think. Oh yeah, four because then I started driving.
Yeah, I guess.
I had to take my, I needed to go to the doctor and no one could take me. So I drove about a week early.
Yeah.
It was really, I was on the freeway like this and it was like this.
Yeah, you couldn't.
I would need to switch lanes and I'd be like this. And then again,
they're just listening.
Oh yeah. Well, if you're watching me on YouTube, you can see me. I'm basically pretending, because I couldn't turn my head.
Turn. Yeah.
But Gina drove me around for 4 weeks. She'd come get me in the morning, and we went to the gym, and there was no stress, and I didn't have an agenda, and
just enjoy it.
I was just with my friends, you know, practicing being. Enjoying my time in the gym. I was taking regular classes. I was training in the regular classes, and Daniel loved to have me there because you had people in class that are scaling stuff and that they can't do certain things.
Right.
And yet I'm over there and I'm like extra scaling.
Right.
You know, and it didn't bother me. In fact, no. I loved that I could be in class and people could see me mm-hmm. doing less than them.
Right. So that you know? They could feel right. I mean, we're
just
all
for
that,
them. Just for them to realize, so like, that it doesn't. You know, we're all here for the same. We're all here for the same reason. We just want to be healthy and fit, and we want to get better. And it's okay if you want to be competitive, and it's okay if you don't. Like me, I'm really competitive.
You are really good,
Gina. Man,
nah,
girl just wants to look good. But yeah,
I mean, I want to be. You know, I don't want to get sick. I don't want to be sick and all that too. I mean, yeah. There are those benefits also. But yeah, I just want to fit in my jeans. That's all I care about. I want to be like 50 with like a half top and a belly button ring.
Oh, yeah. I've actually seen, dude, the Masters athletes will blow your mind.
Oh,
no.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with.
All right.
Anyway, I didn't mean.
We.
My daughter would kill me.
She would kill you. I'm going
to. We're going to do it.
I'm going to do it. Anyways. That's our little spiel. I'm going to put my soapbox away, fold it up, put it away. I'll keep it close by, though, because I pull that thing out
jump on
all
it again.
The time. Yeah. Yeah. I'm passionate.
I know, I
guess
you're
passionate about things.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I always have to remind people, like, I'm not yelling at you. I'm so sorry. In fact, if you guys are listening and you thought, like, damn, Brooke, stop yelling. I'm sorry. I'm not yelling. I just care a lot. Before we end this number five, we're going to do a few questions and answers. Answers which we haven't answered yet, but we're gonna do the answers. To remind you, we want to answer your questions. I get questions constantly, so this is a really favorite part of the show for me, and I'm sure Gina loves answering questions about herself too. She hates talking about herself.
I hate it.
But so please send in your questions. You can do it on my Instagram, you can do it on the YouTube channel, you can do it on my website. I kind of search the platforms to just create and compile all your questions. And we want to hear from you. We want to interact with you. So.
Do you want me to ask the questions?
No. No, why? I'm going to ask it and you can answer it first.
I don't even know what these are, though.
Okay, question.
Okay.
From Nicole Scott.
Okay.
More about your businesses. How do you decide on clothing pieces? Who are the people on your team? Well, that backfired because that's about my clothing line. More about your businesses. How do you decide on clothing pieces? Who are your people on your team? Okay. That could be a long one, and that could be
that's
whole
be a really
podcast
long
in, in itself. So I'm going to give you a short answer. I do a lot of business and build businesses without even realize that I'm doing it. So I will say that. Like, and I forget the stuff that I have.
Right.
As far as the people on my team, I feel like I do read people pretty well. And I truly believe that if you are surrounding yourself with the people that are doing things or have the things, or, you know, are very like-minded, but have the things and doing things that you want, and you're working to be happy and you're working to be a better version of yourself, and being okay with accepting your faults and being able to be vulnerable and say, yeah, I messed up,
yeah,
but I want to work on that.
Right.
You're going to surround yourself with good people. And I feel like I have done that really without intentionally doing it, because on all the different businesses, I equally have partners that want it to be successful as much as me or more than me. And that's been very helpful. As far as people that are on my team much closer to me, like I have an assistant. That took a long time for me to hire someone. In fact, I had my good friend, Adi Kaju. Her assistant is an amazing assistant. She found one for me because I didn't even trust myself in finding a person, nor did I know what to ask for.
I don't even think you really knew what you needed at that point.
No, I didn't. It was like this huge trial period where we just like had her do a few things. And then I slowly went, Jesus, take the wheel. And even then, sometimes I'm like, whoa.
No, give it back. I want it back.
Yeah, so I think it's super important to just know people and be very direct with what you're looking for from them. You know what the goal is. Can this person help you get there? And then you have to be willing to put your foot down and open your mouth if something's not working. You can't be in business. You can't be scared to hurt someone's feelings.
There's no feelings in business.
I've learned this from like my mom and my dad, okay? And this is what I've learned from my dad. And it's so funny because I am just like him. Be honest and be upfront. I mean, you're not going to get shit done if you're going to always constantly try to coddle people or like not hurt someone's feelings. But be very willing to notice when you may have been a little bit too intense and apologize. My dad, I remember he would always, you know, someone would mess up. He owns a big construction company. Someone would mess up something. That's a big mess up for him. He couldn't, and they were friends. He could not give them a pass because they're friends. He'd tear into them. And then the next day, he would connect with them. And there was an understanding there, you know, of like business and friendship. And they knew what they did wrong. They needed to be, you know, getting a little bit of trouble. And then he also would call and say, I'm sorry that I, you know, came across like that strong, but, you know, XYZ. And that's definitely what I've noticed. I'm like that too. Mm-hmm. Hence why I just told you guys, I'm not yelling at you. I'm so sorry if I sound like I'm yelling at you. Yeah, and I'm definitely not going to build my team before I can afford to. I want to do really well. Excellent. And I want the people that work with me to do very well. Also, Gina's on my team. I just don't tell her that because I'm slowly just like, I'm just keeping her, and I'm gonna just do so much stuff with her that she can never get away.
Oh, I love you.
Okay, next this question. I'm gonna ask you this, and you're not gonna like it, but just
is it gonna put me on the spot though?
No, okay. It's just think of it as it pertains to just kind of what you're doing right now.
Okay,
just in life. Okay,
all right.
This is from Marie Vogt, mm-hmm. Vogt. I don't know if I said that right. What is your why?
Oh, that's such a deep question. Why would you do that to
me? People do that to me all the time.
I know, but you're good at this. I'm not.
No.
What is my why?
Just think, don't think like big picture, because if you're like me, it's very stressful. I have a lot of whys, I guess. But let's just think like right now, what could be your why of why you're on this new adventure with me? And we're doing podcasts and we're doing a cooking show on YouTube and
well, you're because of you.
You're 48 and you're going to the CrossFit games and
oh
when you're 50.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot. I would say, let's see. I think I'm trying to be open. Like very open to experiences. Like not saying no to everything. Being more of a yes person.
But why?
No, stop. Now you're like a toddler.
Want me to answer for you?
But why? Why? Why do you think?
This is why I think. Because I can tell you why I love having you around or like taking you everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's like I want, and this is not just for Gina, this is like for any of you out there, but I want you to realize like your life, it is not over at 48. And this, I mean, this was like at 46, this is how I felt about it. It's like, I want you to have a career. It's like, you can still say, what do I want to do when I grow up? There's like there, it's not, the time is not gone. There is so much time. And it's very important to be willing to know that you can do whatever you want. At least you can try. And as long as you're willing to try, you might have some cool shit come your way. You know what
it's
I mean?
For me.
And it can be very easy to think, you know, it's not fun to be uncomfortable. Luckily for you, I've just like made you uncomfortable, but I've also like hugged you.
You do.
I like make you, but it's okay.
You're
it's
like
okay.
My mom.
Yeah.
Push you out there, babe.
That's why I want you to realize that like you have so much time to create an entire new career for yourself that you probably never thought you would have.
Ugh, there's a lot of like things I've done podcast. Recently. Yeah, a lot of things recently that I never thought I'd do. Well, thank you for answering that for me.
So that's Gina's why.
Why you do this? Why did you do this to me? Okay.
Well, Gina, that's your why. I made it up for you. We could talk about that forever, I swear. And honestly, I think that that's going to change as time goes on. And it's going to change for me. It should. As we grow up, as we age, as we change, as we grow.
Change is good.
Things are going to, they're going to become broader or they might change. Try something on for a while. If you don't like it, put it back.
Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you guys so much for listening to this long podcast. It's so funny because I think that I could talk forever, first of all. I'm sorry. We tend to push the limits on the time frame every time we're in here recording, but please rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast and listen to it on any of the platforms that is your favorite. We've got CastBox, which is our favorite, Apple, which is also pretty awesome, and many other ones that you can also be listening to or you're probably listening to right now. So rate, review, subscribe. Send us your questions.
Feel free to give us a 5-star rating.
Oh, 5 stars would be great. Send us your questions. I promise that we can maybe try to answer more next time, and I'll talk a little less.
Something not as deep.
Well, I like it when they're deep,
okay,
Gina.
Okay, anyway, I'm going to take it down that road.
I will always take it down that road.
I know.
We love you guys. We're super grateful for you and this entire experience. We're on number 5. We're moving on to number 6. And the year is going to be great. So again, you guys, thank you so much for listening. We are super grateful that you hopefully are hearing this and you've listened to the entire episode.
Turned it off midway.
You haven't turned us off. We'd love to have you rate, review, and subscribe to our channel. Give us a 5-star rating. And send us your questions. Send us some challenges, which we do have a couple we are going to be doing.
Within reason.
Challenges. And also, there are other things you might want us to try out. Maybe like a Korean spa?
You keep wanting that one.
I've heard about the Korean spa thing. We're going to try it out for many reasons, you know, for science. We're going to do it for science. Anyways, thank you for listening to Between the Reps with Brooke and Gina.
Thanks for listening.
And we'll see you next time. We won't see you, actually. You'll see us on YouTube.
Hello, it is your partner, Big Boy, interested in giving back to your community while making new connections in your neighborhood. Introducing Neighbor to Neighbor, a California volunteers network that empowers you to take action, contribute to local needs, and be a part of something bigger than yourself. Visit ca8neighbors.com to learn more about how you can get to know your neighbor and strengthen your community. Neighbor to Neighbor, it takes a neighborhood. Hello. Hello, it is your partner, Big Boy, interested in giving back to your community while making new connections in your neighborhood. Introducing Neighbor to Neighbor, a California volunteers network that empowers you to take action, contribute to local needs, and be a part of something bigger than yourself. Visit ca8neighbors.com to learn more about how you can get to know your neighbor and strengthen your community. Neighbor to Neighbor, it takes a neighborhood. Hello.